Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman star in The Bucket List. It is a buddy flick in which they leap from planes, drive race cars, eat caviar, motorcycle on the Great Wall, and trot by other wonders of the world before they kick the bucket. And this movie's premise resonates. Millions of people have made up do lists before they die. And a person who has a website about that is on the phone with us right now, Caroline Adams Miller of Bethesda, Maryland. Good morning, Caroline. How are you?
Good morning.
Now, you are a life coach and motivational speaker. Is that right?
That's correct.
How motivated are we going to be after this whole thing?
You will be starting your life list the minute we get off the phone. How's that?
Why wait so long?
Right. Well, okay, then you'll be uttering your first three life goals before the interview's over. How's that?
My first three.
Yeah, give me one.
You know, honestly, and I find this kind of interesting. Now, Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman, obviously, two men in their 60s. I'm 47, so I haven't really, you know, I had a list when I was 20.
You did? Now, that's unusual.
I thought I wanted to go to a Super Bowl. I thought I wanted to go to a World Series. I thought I wanted to go to an Indianapolis 500.
Now he just wants to get a good nap.
Now I just like to be able to see those things on TV and stay awake from the whole thing. But.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you had a list at 20 because a lot of people never take the time to make a list. And it is important to have a list simply because the happiest people among us, and I do have a master's degree in positive psychology from the University of Pennsylvania, the happiest people among us have short-term and long-term goals they're always working towards. So if you want to be among the group of the happiest people who really get a lot of benefits out of life, it's important to have things that you're always anticipating, looking forward to, striving to accomplish. And they don't have to be, you know, these flashy goals that are in the bucket list movie.
You have a master's in positive psychology?
Yes.
This is weird.
Well, no.
I have a doctorate in negative psychology.
Well, I wouldn't say that I was naturally an optimist, but Time Magazine had this wonderful cover story in January of 2005 about the science of happiness. And there is a science of happiness, and I graduated from Harvard in 1983, and one of the things that was in the news last year is that Harvard had a class in positive psychology that was the most oversubscribed class in the history of the university. And when I was at Penn, I went back and visited the class with my classmates, and it was interesting to go back there after having been an undergrad there and wishing I'd had that kind of information, because you can now change your happiness set point and actually experience more joy out of life. And one of the ways to do it is by setting goals in a scientific way so that you have a higher likelihood of achieving them.
This is Caroline Adams Miller. The name of her website is your100things.com. You know, whenever you hear about, positive thinking and, goal setting, you realize that most people just haven't had the opportunity or given themselves the chance to even identify what their very simple basic goals are. They just don't take the time to do it. And, a couple of years ago, there was this whole thing about The Secret, which was basically kind of goal setting and, focusing in on that stuff. And then, things either happened or didn't happen. And I don't know how you feel about that, but
I don't feel real strongly about The Secret, and I'll tell you why. They left out a critical piece that is fundamental in the science of goal setting. They left out the hard work, and they left out the grit. They left out all the important things that you have to do to make goals happen. The premise of The Secret is a lot of about, affirmations and visualization, and that's all very well and good, but it was too magical for me and for a lot of people who have studied the science of goal setting. You have to work hard at these things. You have to focus on the environment you're in. You have to focus on the people you spend time with.
Mm-hmm.
There's a social contagion factor, in terms of whether or not you're going to accomplish your goals, and who knows about your goals.
But the identification of those goals, it might just be the most important part of it.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you can do at your100things.com is see that, life is divided into 16 areas that we all find important. And this has been, again, studied scientifically. There are 16 validated areas that bring people joy, including community, neighborhood, love relationships, creativity, play. And your goals should really reflect making progress in those areas. I'll give you an example of something that was on my life list. It might be a little nuts. Other people might not have it on their list, but it gave me a lot of joy and it gave a lot of other people joy. I always wanted to be a mascot. at a sports game.
That's a little crazy.
A little weird.
Maybe a little bit weird.
Do you have a school picked?
But you know what? I always looked at mascots on TV or when I was at a game, and everybody smiled when the mascot came near them. Everybody wanted a picture with them. So it was just one of my fun goals, one of my play goals. And my husband won an auction last month, and I got to actually be Testudo, which is the University of Maryland mascot. It's a big fuzzy turtle. So I got to be Testudo at a women's basketball game.
Wow.
It was probably one of the most fun experiences of my life. And you can see the whole story in pictures of me on my other website, my main website, which is CarolineMiller.com.
Do the qualifications for being a life coach involve an awful lot of caffeine and an inability to inhale?
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yes, it is. When you said before it's unusual to have a list of 20, and when you look at this, you know, Jack Nicholson, Morgan Freeman kind of thing, okay, at 20 years old, you know, you're dreaming, you're not financially in a place to do the things like I mentioned anyhow, the Super Bowl and the World Series and all that stuff. But by the time you get to Jack Nicholson or Morgan Freeman's age, you're putting together a list. Now you're obviously probably, first of all, more financially set, but you're also more than likely looking at it from a mortality standpoint.
Right. You know, college students overwhelmingly put one of their top goals at making a lot of money. And the studies are showing pretty conclusively that making a lot of money doesn't make you any happier. There's a threshold over which you just don't get a lot happier, and there's a lot of science behind that. But that's really where college students are for the most part. But when you dig a little deeper past those are called extrinsic goals, goals that are set from the outside, kind of the look-at-me goals. The intrinsic goals are the ones really that come from your passions and your values and your heart. And I've spoken at a lot of colleges, and when I issue a challenge to the students to give me their list of things to do before they die, quite often, it's not just about the money. It might be the first couple ones, but, you know, one gentleman handed me a list, and the number one goal was to tell his father he loved him before he died. And I approached him after my speech, and I said, you know, that's a goal you can knock off today if you choose. And so you do see deeper goals on a lot of people's lists. When you're younger, it does tend to be a little bit more extrinsic. But your goals don't have to cost you a lot of money. That's the other thing.
Caroline Miller is on the phone. You know, one of the problems that you have, though, is we really do live in a society where people do feel as if they're entitled to things, and as opposed to, you know, working hard towards things. Just like you were saying before about how phony the secret is.
Mm-hmm.
There is work that needs to be done. People aren't just handed things because they, you know, they're in a particular situation. You do have to work for it. How difficult is it to convince someone who thinks, I've got what's coming to me, to do the kinds of things they need to do to really be successful?
Well, you study greatness, and the studies of greatness are pretty consistently showing that there's a sub-theme called the 10-year rule. To become expert at anything or to become accomplished at anything, it generally takes at least 10 years of hard work, and there's even studies on the brain, something called myelin. It's a fatty sheath that goes around the neurons.
Oh, I got that.
And you really have to put hard work in. And while I was at Penn, there was a woman doing a doctoral work on something called grit. And grit is really just the ability to, you know, hang in there. And too many, I think, youngsters in this country are quitters. And they don't finish the things that they start. They don't even write thank you notes for the most part. And I think as parents, one of our jobs is to not let our children be quitters. Because grit, also known as the 10-year rule, is overwhelmingly seen as one of the major factors in life's success, above and beyond intelligence, above and beyond money, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can't be a quitter if you want to, you know, knock the goals off your life, off your list.
Since we've been talking, I kind of just quickly been jotting together a list, because like I said, I had one at 20, but I really haven't had one since then. And most of the ones I had at 20, I'm probably not going to be able to do anyway. So I've really started thinking about it again lately. Can I share some of them with you?
Yes.
Yeah. One of them is...
This is going to turn out bad. I can tell it right now.
I want to sleep with a supermodel. How's that? I'm sorry. I think somebody's trying to call into you.
Somebody is trying to give me their goals.
Yeah.
Why don't you give me the other ones?
Well, the other one, one of them is to kill a hooker.
Yeah, that's great.
I want to do that. Another one is to crash a helicopter.
Caroline, I told you this was going to end badly, didn't I?
You know what? Those are let's just say those aren't exactly what show up on most people's lists.
Well, and that is, does that by itself make me a unique individual?
I think it makes you very, very unique and very challenging to work with.
That's what I was about to tell you. It's very challenging to work with.
Do these lists oftentimes involve? Is this supposed to be a strictly solitary list, or can this oftentimes involve a spouse or a lifelong friend or somebody like that?
Well, you know, the happiest people do have close relationships with other people. So what you do often see, as I mentioned earlier, the 16 areas of life that really do matter, they do include love relationships, they include, you know, relationships with children, friendships. And so, for example, on my list, I try to do a mother-daughter getaway every single year. And so that involves my daughter, obviously. I want to ride the entire C&O Canal with my husband on our 25th wedding anniversary. So those are the kinds of goals that aren't necessarily expensive, but that do involve sharing joy with other people. Because really, joy is about experiences, positive experience.
In your case, it's different goals with different people, not necessarily two of the same people with the same identical list.
Correct. I mean, everybody's got different lists. My daughter has a very interesting list that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with her parents. Mm. And some of my goals are kind of nuts, as I said, but they bring me joy. Like, I just wanted the experience of making something with my hands and wearing it. And so I, you know, crocheted a poncho. It brought me a lot of joy. It made me feel, you know, it's called, I just felt efficacious. I felt like I had learned something. I challenged myself to do something that wasn't easy. It looked terrible, but I still did it. And so that was a solitary goal. I want to play one song on the piano at Nordstrom, so I'm taking jazz piano lessons. Again, that's just something that's important to me. It's a value to be able to make someone else smile while they're shopping.
And I assume that you also believe, and I do too, that people shouldn't be afraid to fail. You know, working hard towards a goal means failing. Failing is how you learn from these things.
Well, again, all the great inventors have failed more than they've succeeded. And it was my 12-year-old son who told me that in baseball you have to strike out more than anybody else in order to be a leader in hits. So he was saying baseball is really where you see more failure in order to be more successful, which I think is interesting. But you do have to be willing to lose. You do have to be willing to fail, because one of the things they've found in the studies of regrets as you get older is that people tend to regret most the things that they didn't try, the things that they put off because they were afraid of failing.
Your daughter's list doesn't include being an only child, does it? Now that you mentioned you have a son also.
Lost that one.
Yeah. Too late for that.
Yeah.
Caroline Adams Miller, the name of the website, Your 100 Things, and also CarolineMiller.com. She's written a bunch of books. Caroline, we appreciate the time today. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. And enjoy making your list.
Oh, thanks.
We appreciate it.
Sure. Bye.
Caroline Miller on Rock 102.